Hebrews chapter 6. I want to share a little differently today than I usually share. I don't know if you'd call it a preaching or whatever, but there's a major point. We're going to start reading here in verse 13. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise," talking about Isaac. You know, he obtained that promise. "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife." When someone makes that declaration, "I swear that I'll do this," the deal is over. It's absolutely going to be done. There's no more to argue about. "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, encouragement, who have fled for refuge and to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that therein the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." That is quite a section of scripture. You know, there is this beautiful metaphor here in the 19th verse, the anchor of the soul. And a metaphor really is a figure of speech. And it points out that which God wants you to understand is most important, to put emphasis on it. So I wanted to take some time and think about this anchor, the anchor of our soul. See, our lives, in this particular metaphor, we're on the ocean. We're ships on an ocean. And this ocean, at times, is treacherous. It's unstable. It's dangerous, but we're on our journey. And it's blown about with the wind, the waves. I mean, you can see, remember some of these movies you got in your head where the ocean, you know, you're just in this monumental storm. But I've been on a couple of ships. I've been on, like, the biggest ship I ever been on was a cruise ship, right? We're in a storm, and I'm on the eighth floor, and the ocean is spraying my windows. So I was glad I wasn't on the second floor. It was a 14-story ship, 14 decks, and the water is hitting my windows, and I'm on the eighth floor. The ocean, you know, it can be an unbelievable... Now, when the thing is calm, this boat, this ship is just cruising along like nothing ever happened, you know? Just a sunny day. But when it gets bad, that's when you got to be on a decent ship. And this ship's got to have a decent anchor. So, you know, God doesn't want us to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. He doesn't want our lives to end up on the rocks. So he has provided for us this anchor of the soul. And one of the things, the imagery of an anchor is the purpose of an anchor. Okay? I never really thought much about this until I decided that this was a theme for family camp, and I decided that I want to think about this quite a bit. So the purpose of an anchor is to hold the ship steady, to ground it, so that it doesn't end up on the rocks, so it's not lost. Your anchor, if you don't have a good anchor, you lose the ship. You lose your life. You know, it's incredibly important, and yet it's just a hunk of metal. But this hunk of metal that's held on by a chain in a ship, it keeps the entire ship from being lost and wrecked. And the lives that are of the people on the ship. I imagine the guys, remember the back in the sailboat days, where you couldn't just put the motor on and go off. You know, you had to depend upon a lot of different variables. I don't know how to sail, but I know all those mass ships, if the wind is not going in the right direction, you're not getting out of the port. And if you're close, your anchor better hold. You know, it keeps us from being wrecked, keeps us from losing everything. You know, the trials that come our way, the gales that happen in our lives, all of the things that continue to bombard us through our life, it's the anchor that holds us safe. This anchor of the soul. What's the anchor made out of? It's not cheap. Okay? Now, you might be able to, in a rowboat, you get a brick and tie a rope to it and throw it overboard. That might work, but not for a ship. Not for a ship. It's made of extremely good material. It's welded together beautifully. This thing is not cheap. And when the wind blows and when the gales happen and the storms in life come our way and when the adversary attacks us, this thing is worth its weight in gold to a ship in trouble. And the more the storm blows and tugs on it, the more the anchor digs into the bottom of the sea and holds it fast. It's made out of two flukes, the things that come out. You know, think of the old one. But they're still called flukes, even on a new one. They're just designed differently. The anchor hope comes up, and the two ends are called flukes. All right? In this section of Scripture, the two flukes that God has made, two immutable promises. His promise that he has made, and that promise ought to be by itself the end of the conversation. You know, what God says in his word, he is going to do. All the promises of God are yea and amen in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. He's a God who cannot lie. And he's going to get it. And when those promises, when that gale went, that promise, it just digs deep into the ocean floor. And it holds fast. But God didn't just, the second arm is his oath. His oath. Now, can you imagine this? The God who cannot lie has made promises. And then in Genesis chapter 22 with Abraham, when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, God said, because you have done this, I swear by myself, by everything that I am, my name, my worth, my reputation, I swear. Can you imagine the throne room of God? Can you imagine the 24 elders faces with the angels when God sat there on the throne and raised his right hand and said, I swear with an oath that I will do this. And everybody there, I'm telling you, we haven't seen this before. Two immutable things. This is what this anchor is made out of. and it can't be broken. This holds this ship beyond anything else that you will ever be able to comprehend, because I can't comprehend it. This is how strong it is. There's nothing in this life that can break the hold of this anchor. Nothing. See, the promise there, keep your finger if you want in Hebrews or your marker and go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. When God made that promise, I told you that that first time that he swore is in Genesis 22, right? And what he said to him, says, I swear to you and to your seed. And Galatians clarifies who that seed is. And in verse 16, it says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. And he said, not as and to seed, as in plural, as in seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. You know, God swore with an oath, you're going to get this. It was to Abraham, and it was to his seed, the Christ. Those are the two that are absolutely, you've got the promise, I swear with my oath. They got it already. The rest of us have to have faith like Abraham. Then we're added to it. We're the children of Abraham. But it's not guaranteed to you until you keep and maintain the faith. Christ, he's got it. Abraham, he's in. This is coming to pass. You and I who believe like them, like a faithful Abraham, we're heirs also of the promise. But that's our choice. Our deliberate freedom of will choice to make Jesus Christ our Lord and to believe that God raised him from the dead. See, these things, but I think it's also this particular thing that says here, the promise was given to him in Genesis, but you know what? There's another place in the Bible where God swears. And go to Psalm 110. I pray that God allows me to do this well so that you can see it nice and clearly. And the reason I believe that this is what the Lord is talking about and not Genesis 22 is because of the context of Hebrews. And I'll show you that in a minute. In Psalm 110, verse 4, it says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, for thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the reason I believe this is the oath to Abraham and to the Christ, the Messiah. By those two immutable things is because of what verse 20 says in Hebrews. That our forerunner has entered in, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see that? We have a high priest. We have a high priest that has literally carried out in his sacrificial ministry everything that was needed to be done. This is not after Aaron. This is not after the Levites. They're done. They're over with. They were an example. Jesus Christ, God has ordained to be high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the king of righteousness, the king of peace, and the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is high priest after his order. Our Lord entered in to the veil once with the final, his own blood, forever redeeming those who believe on him. We have absolute redemption because we have faith in what he has accomplished for us. We have faith that God got him up from the dead, that he has ascended, and that he is right now sitting behind the veil at the right hand of the throne of God. We have a high priest that this anchor goes into the veil. It doesn't drop into the middle of the ocean. It is held steadfast and sure behind the veil. It attaches us to the throne that you and I are anchored at the throne of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done all of this for us. This anchor is sure and steadfast, as it says in Hebrews. This anchor is going to make it possible for us to enter into his rest. We're on our journey in this life right now. And no matter what comes our way, no matter what storm comes, no matter where we're at, we got the tools to get where we need to go. And we have an anchor that holds us fast, that no matter what comes by, because it's anchored up there behind the veil. It keeps our connection to God. There's nothing that can break this anchor of our soul. But we are told in this section of Scripture to hold fast. Right? Let's look at Hebrews again. You have those two immutable promises, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which is it impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, a strong encouragement. There is absolutely nothing that can break God's word, and he has done it with an extraordinary thing. He's not only made the promise, but he has also sworn with an oath. Because who have fled for refuge? You and I have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. To lay hold. In the Greek, to lay hold is, let me look over here. That's what happens when you write too many notes. To take hold of the hope that is set before. To lay hold in the Greek is to have a hold by main force. This is, your main force is to hold fast to this anchor. Now, you know the anchor, it's got the flukes, the promise, and the oath. God's end of this anchor can't be changed. It is an anchor that is sure and steadfast. What holds the anchor to the boat? Us. The links in the chain, right? The links in the chain are all the promises that we read in Scripture that encourage us to have faith in what God has promised and His people. Every link, every one of the promises, all of the things that we know of God, because those links, and they're strong. Again, all the promises of God are yea and amen. There is nothing. Every word of this word is coming to pass, the Lord said. And nothing is going to fall to the ground. And you and I, our responsibility. Once we have that kind of encouragement, I'll never change my word. I've given you a high priest who's got this anchor. He is a faithful one. You can come to him because he was a man like you were, and yet without sin. He is able to succor you and to help you in your life no matter what comes your way. This Lord Jesus Christ, he's our high priest. He's our. We go through him to have a relationship with the Father. He is the one that gives us access. He is the one. We pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you and I, without him, don't have a right to get to the Father. We are going to be justified through him, sanctified through him. We are redeemed through his blood. He and he alone, our high priest, has paid for it all. And he holds fast. The only thing we got to do is keep hold on the chain. All the word, all the promises that have been given to us. There's nothing that can break it because God's word can't be broken. The only part that could be weak, your head. Your head. Your will. Your desire. The adversary will throw depression at you. He'll throw discouragement. He'll throw apathy into your lap. He'll put, well, what's the point? What's going on? Those are the biggest weapons I see against God's people now. You know, I'm bored. Go do something then. You're all fine. You need something to serve? You need something to get involved with? Get off your butt. Go serve. Go get involved. There's people out there that need help. You got neighbors out there that need help. I mean, I'm not just talking about that they come to fellowship. I'm talking about, hey, go spread a little love. There's no reason to be bored, not in this life. This is a battle we're in. I mean, there's casualties, spiritual casualties in this battlefield all over the place. They're laying around. You don't have to search for them. They're on your block. You have this high priest. He ain't letting go. You got a purpose. You have a purpose. You don't let go. And you don't let the adversary blow the wind of discouragement and depression and, oh, woe is me. Kick yourself in the butt, will you? Well, oh, woe is me. You got eternity coming. You're going to be in the kingdom forever. You're going to serve him, and he is going to be with you. You're going to be able to sit at Abraham's table. You're discouraged? What are you, a lunatic? Not if you keep your head straight. Not if you think about those promises. Not if you're looking at the chain. It ain't going to break. All you got to do is take your main strength and hold. Because it's everything. the context of Hebrews. The reason that I said that it's, I mean, most people would think that the hope is talking about, you know, the coming kingdom here, right? That's what I always thought, until I thought about the context of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, God opens up, and you can read the book. Please, read the book, all right? But God opens up and says, God Almighty, who has spoken to us many different ways and many different times, has in these final days spoken to us by his Son. He is the heir of all things. And this Son, his Son, is greater than the angels. Because to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand? He says to the angels, worship him. He is the one God sent as a man to suffer so that we might have a sure salvation in chapter 2. And he is set higher than Moses and greater than Moses because the builder of the house has more honor than the house. In chapter 3, he speaks of him being over, and this must have been real hard for the Jews, extremely hard for the Jews, because Moses was the man. He was the lawgiver, but God makes very clear that Christ is over him, because Moses spoke of his day. And then there's a warning, don't harden your hearts like they did when they were walking in the days of coming out of Egypt and the wilderness. Don't harden your hearts, because so many of them never entered into God's rest because of their heart of unbelief. And then chapter 5 speaks and starts to speak, but I have set him, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, my Lord, God has set him to be a high priest forever. And he is able, he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. He is able to help each and every one of us each and every day, because he's lived it. He knows what this life's about. He knows the suffering that we go through. He knows how to help us. He's merciful. He understands the difficulties. And for those that turn away in the beginning of chapter 6, can't do nothing about it. Can't renew them again. You quit on him, you're done. You're out. You let go of the anchor, you're a wrecked ship. You know, or like it says there, a garden with nothing but weeds. Good for nothing. But he says, I speak better things of you. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. In fact, it says it here. Let me read it to you. Verse 10, chapter 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's why I said to you, you feeling sorry for yourself? Need something to do? Take the focus off of you. Take the focus off of you. You think about you all the time? I would be depressed too. If I'm thinking about me, I'm telling you, I get depressed. Stop thinking about you. The work that you show, the labor that you give, that you do for his name's sake, he'll never forget. Rewards are yours. He's given us all this. We have this high priest. He can't and will not turn his back on us. It's sure. It's steadfast. These flukes won't ever break. Just hold steadfast, and you will enter and receive the promises that he has made and be there with him forever and ever and ever. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.